On ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Live from Houston, brother Johnny. Johnny! Johnny, are you there?
I can hear you.
All right, Mike Ditka's there as well. He is in Connecticut. Johnny is in Houston. Gentlemen, great to have you back. We must begin with the Chicago teachers' strike. Listen to Karen Lewis, the union boss.
They don't like the idea that people's recall benefits are basically cut in half. People will always have some conversation about what the contract looks like. The key is on Tuesday we will be coming back to determine whether or not they're going to suspend the strike. At this moment, they don't feel that way.
They had all summer, and this could have been worked out earlier.
They should have did this when school was out. They should have went and did all of this before it was time for these kids to start school.
Well, maybe they should have figured this out, Mike Ditka, before all this happened, huh?
Well, here's the thing is, I mean, what are we concerned about here? Children? Or a few bucks? Or I don't know what the benefit package is. I think a lot of it has to do with the pensions and everything, but I'm not quite sure I understand it.
Well, what they're doing, Johnny, is they're offering essentially 3%, 2%, 2%, maybe 4%. They also want to talk about how to evaluate the teachers. The average teacher pay in Chicago is $74,000 without benefits. I wouldn't take the job in the public schools in Chicago for any amount of money. It's a tough job. Rahm Emanuel, Johnny, wants to take him to court to get him back.
Well, I think that the issue, is this evaluation and the fact that they're worried that their kids won't pass whatever tests they come up with to show how good a teacher they are.
In Chicago, it's one of the worst in the country.
So they don't want to be accountable because they don't.
What I'm saying is now, listen. Now, if you're, there's a lot of ways to look at this. There are good teachers and there are bad teachers, no question about it. But I mean, the whatever that rate is in Chicago is really not good with the students because it's just not quality. So, what do you want? You want more money? I don't know. I don't have an answer. But, after a while, and first of all, where the heck's the money coming from? Where the money's coming from? I don't know. And Rahm Emanuel's going to sue them? Well, that's a great idea. Just bring in your buddy from Washington. He can fix it.
Well, Johnny, what do you do, though, if you have an eighth grader that hasn't completed the fourth grade work and there's nobody at home to call? If you don't have a home and you don't have great support, well, how do you connect with the kids?
Well, and then
that's the tragedy. I mean, it's a tragedy. There's no question about it. But listen, a lot of these kids, by going to school, going to class every day, hey, that was where they went. I mean, that was something to do with. Other than that, where are they? Where are they? They're out on the streets. They have no parents who got them. Come on. It is what it is. And if people don't understand that and understand that they've got to come together on this if they're going to get it resolved, they're crazy.
Well, and then the teachers, Steve, in defense of the teachers, they're going to grade this eighth grader who they know won't pass anything and tell them they're bad teachers when the system's already put them in a spot they probably think they can't win. So I think that's the big sticking point.
Yeah.
So, and then of course, as far as where the money goes is coming from, I think we quit worrying about that several years ago.
You know where it's coming from.
I think Bernanke just added $1 trillion to the balances again, Stevie.
Well, isn't that devaluing my dollar bill?
Well, my question is just, let's cut to it. Why don't I get $1 billion? I promise you I will blow it in 30 days if that's what you want. Is it spreading wealth? I don't understand it, Mike. But another trillion.
That's all. Just print it.
Yeah.
It has no value, but print it.
All right, over the weekend, the UN ambassador, Susan Rice, was on virtually every talk show insisting that all of these things going in the Middle East was because of this movie.
We are quite popular in Libya, as you might expect, having been a major partner in their revolution. What transpired outside of our consulate in Benghazi was not an expression of deep-seated anti-Americanism on the part of the Libyan people, quite the contrary.
Most people don't bring rocket-propelled grenades and heavy weapons to a demonstration. That was an act of terror. And for anyone to disagree with that fundamental fact, I think, is really ignoring the facts.
Okay, Johnny, we're popular in Libya.
Well, the truth is that, Steve, if you don't understand or can't analyze what's going on, then you're not going to be able to do anything about it but yammer anyway. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And, yes, there's a lot of anti-American sentiment in the Middle East, and there's going to continue to be, especially if we say there isn't any, yeah, and watch them burning the flag and screaming and killing our ambassador.
That's because of the movie, Johnny. Mike, that's because of the movie. Of course, they love us.
Well, these people saying that are smoking dope, guys. It's ridiculous. I mean, first of all, if you take a strong stance in the world and you show who you are, then, you know, you don't worry too much about this stuff. You know, where would the Middle East be without America anyway? Come on, Libya and all these countries, I say cut off all aid, and I mean it. See, I'm old-fashioned. I cut off all aid until they get their act together. Now, you say, well, it's not the government's fault. Well, it is the government's fault, because you've got to control your people. If you can't, then you're not going to be the government for long, so it doesn't matter if we help you or not. I mean, and these are the facts that you got to look at. You got to cut off all aid to these things.
Well, and Steve, the reaction to the movie is irrelevant. It's kind of like justifying what they're doing because somebody made some crazy movie. I mean, what in the world kind of response is that?
It's a cop-out.
It's a complete cop-out.
They don't like America. They want to burn the flag. That's what they want to do. If they want to do that, fine. But we should have no part in helping them do it. That's all I'm saying. It's not too complicated. Well, you can't cut off, why you can't cut off aid because all of the Taliban will take, fine. The Taliban take over. That's what they want. If that's the life they want to live, let them have that life. And just make yourself strong. Now, in the sense of doing all this now, you can't have a president that wants to disarm your military, that wants to disable your nuclear capabilities. No, you can't do it. You must lead from a position of strength, not weakness.
That's true, Steve, and yeah. I think that you've also got to make some sense. So I think it's unfortunate that the situation is what it is, but you can't support almost say, well, if we hadn't made the movie, they'd be fine. So, and there's absolutely no animosity towards Americans. That's just madness.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3. I'm Stevie J. Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Israel, had this to say yesterday.
A lot of leaders call me, tell me don't do it. It's not necessary. You know, the danger of acting is much greater than not acting, and I always say the danger of not acting in time is much greater because Iran with nuclear weapons would mean that the kind of fanaticism that you see storming your embassies would have a nuclear weapon.
I hope they don't hit Iran, but who could blame them? I think, how could you not blame Israel for being a little bit concerned about a country wanting nuclear weapons that have said they want to annihilate them off the map, Johnny?
Well, I don't think there's any question that it's a serious issue for Israel, and we're hoping that they won't do it. But, Mike, I think that the Iranians are going to get nuclear weapons eventually. I don't know whether the Israelis can
tolerate. I think they have them done, and it's just depends on how sophisticated they are right now. And you're right. I mean, what the Prime Minister of Israel said is right. I mean, really, you act from a position of strength, but if you act now or you wait or you listen, they don't want to hear that. I don't know if they're going to attack Iran or not. I don't know if they're going to do something or not. But I tell you what, the only ally we have over there that we can count on is Israel. And if our administration doesn't understand it, or our Congress, or our leaders, they're fools.
Well, and it's going to be serious, Steve, if it gets to that, because you think you've got anti-American sentiment over the video.
Yeah.
Whew, wait till you see that.
Yeah, no question about it. I think all prayers are for peace, but it's getting to the brink. And, if something hits before the election, I think it could affect the election. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's talk about the NFL yesterday. Johnny, the only winless team in the NFC is the New Orleans Saints. It hurts me, Johnny, but isn't it a study of leadership? You cut off the head, what happens?
Well, We definitely are hurting. We've lost the coach and the GM, and we've got the interim, and you know the offense is sputtering. They've scored about 30 points a game. But Mike, you know what? Of course, I watch the Saints pretty closely, but I don't think we've got the defensive roster to really make a run. I just don't think we've got speed at linebacker. We get no pressure. This is the third year in a row, really. We won the Super Bowl and lost a guy named Scott Fujita, one guy, the middle linebacker, when Vilma was playing, and Vilma's out too. So neither one of those guys are there. And it's just not a very good defense, and I think you have to have speed, and that's my analysis, although we could use a head coach.
Well, when you can't cover and you can't rush the passer and you can't tackle, you're right. You got a bad defense.
Wow.
They got a bad defense.
Yeah.
Those problems exist right now. The other thing is you can't protect the quarterback. Therefore, he's under duress. He makes some bad decisions. The team doesn't look like they're organized to me. I mean, Sean Payton, when he was there, they were organized. There was decision-making. They were precise. They don't look like that now. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm just telling you what I see. But I know one thing. Their defense doesn't even try to tackle.
Mm.
Well, the other thing, Mike, we're kind of in limbo. It'd be one thing to lose your coach, and then you get a new coach. You got a coach out for a year, so we really aren't replacing him. You get the interim, but he can't really put in his system. He's just biding time, and so you get that lack of organization.
The system wasn't broken. I mean, that I know of. Now, I didn't think the system was broken. So why? I mean, you got a problem. First of all, don't get caught up in Vilma. Vilma is a marginal player at best. He's just
right.
A marginal player. Believe me. Yeah, I understand. But your defense can't change that radically from in 2 years to be a great pressure defense, cover defense, to be what it is. It just looks to me like the players play with no emotion. I watched the sidelines of the game they played in New Orleans when they opened in the Dome, and I don't see the same, I don't know, I don't see the same resolve or emotion that I've seen from this organization for a long, long time.
And, Johnny, there was a poll done, wasn't there, before the season about who would be the best interim coach for the Saints, and who won that?
This is Mike Ditka, of course.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean,
well,
coach on the sidelines for the year would have led those Saints right back to the Super Bowl.
Well, but here's the thing, guys. I this doesn't make any sense. I mean, I thought the punishment was way too severe. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know damn well, and as far as I know, Sean Payton is an outstanding person, and he had nothing to do with it. And I doubt how much he really knew about it or if he knew anything about it. Because these things happen in a defensive meeting. You don't know. Buddy wouldn't tell me anything he was doing. You know, I had to try to pry it out of people.
All right, let me go to the Giants and Tampa Bay game, Johnny and Mike. End of the game, Eli takes a knee, and they surge over, knock everybody on their butt, and Tom Coughlin, the Giants coach, was mad.
You don't do that in this league. You don't jeopardize not only that, I mean, you jeopardize the offensive line, you jeopardize the quarterback.
What's your take on that, Mike?
I disagree with him 100%. Now, if you want to end the game before it's over, fine. But if you're going to line up to run a play, my job is to try to get the ball away from you. So if I have to use force to do that, I do it. Now, you're talking about injury. Now, listen, if you can see me lined up across from you, I'm an offensive lineman, and I don't get prepared to take the blow, then I got to be an idiot. So I disagree completely with what Tom did, what he said, how he did it. Now, if you're going to do it, you walk out to the middle of the field, shake the guy's hand, you might whisper in his ear, I don't like that. I like what Greg Shannon's trying to do down at Tampa. He's trying to build a top-level football team. Now, they didn't look very tough on defense yesterday, giving up 500-some yards in the air. But I'm just saying, I know what he's trying to do. This is a team that's going in the right direction. People say, well, that's you're wrong. I have no problem with it. If people think I'm wrong, I could care less. I would coach my team the same way. I'm sorry.
I'm kind of on that page, too, Steve. The game's not over. You never know. You've seen strange things happen.
I'll fumble anything. Come on. Stop it.
They're out there, but they're still playing. I mean, they didn't. If the referee says, do you want to quit and y'all quit, that's fine. But if you're
good. Yeah, that's simply, yeah, okay. Take your marbles and go home.
And people don't like the whole knee thing anyway, do they?
Well, I'm just telling you right now, you know, you try to slap the ball when the center's moving it back there on a field goal to win the game, or on a play like that where you're going to try to kill the play. Anything can happen. The ball squirt out of there, you know. You get the ball, you get one or two plays, you kick a field goal, you tie or win the game. I don't want to hear it. You know, I think it's a cop-out. And if you want to complain as a head coach, and I'm going to say this, and you do it to the guy, you say, hey, you shake his hand, and you get up close to him. You don't do it where everybody, you know. I just think that's grandstanding.
Well, you know, that knee, taking a knee, coach, that's a play. Get ready, run the play.
Yeah.
That's a play.
Yeah.
I mean,
you have to run the play. That is called a play.
And it's not like touch. It doesn't change to touch football. It's just another play.
Right, right. All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3, a few more minutes. Let me ask you guys about the head injury talk in the league and what the league knew and didn't tell them and all these other things. First of all, Mike, certainly it's a violent sport. Is the NFL at fault on all of this, or if you get into the NFL, should you know that hitting your head might cause bad things to happen?
Are you telling people don't know this? You don't think they know that when you play a sport as violent as football, that there is a risk of injury? Some of that injury could be head injury, regardless of the sophistication of the helmet. Come on. I mean, everybody knows this. Now, if you were coming into the NFL and they gave you this option, if you want to play in the NFL, you have to sign a waiver. How many guys would sign a waiver? All of them? I think all of them.
Think all of them.
Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, I don't want to get into this. I don't know what was known or what, but I know one thing, that in the old days, people didn't understand the concussion syndrome, period, and the head injury thing. So when you got one, when you got a dinger, you went back in the game. You went back in the next week for sure. I mean, it was something. You might have had a headache for a couple of days. You might have had a loss of memory, but everybody played in the old days. And it was not the team that was forcing you to. It was the individual who wanted to. Now, in retrospect, you could come back and say, well, we disagree with that. The team was hiding, or the league was hiding information from us. Fine. I find it hard to believe, hard to conceive that anybody would do that, any commissioner would do that, any doctor would do that. That's only my opinion.
I don't believe that either. I think that I've been impressed too, Mike. As impossible as it seemed, there's a lot less helmet to helmet now, and they just really started focusing on it a couple of years ago. And
well, they're doing a good program with these kids on the heads up thing. But you're right; the helmet is a weapon, and I understand you have to have it for protection. But I'm saying the protection part of it is fine, but it also makes you feel invincible, and you attack with that helmet, and you can lead with your head. And you know that it's really, in most cases, you're not going to get hurt until you do get hurt. And, I mean, it's just the way it is, guys. This is never going to get worked out to perfection. I think what the league's trying to do now, they're doing the right thing. If you get a concussion, you don't play the next week, period.
And they watch them. They'll test them during the game before they let them back in.
Well,
Johnny, and listen, we live in a society that can send probes to Mars. Couldn't we come up with a Nerf helmet that wouldn't have the same sound? It would certainly say, oh, you're going to change this whole thing to flag football. But couldn't you come up with a better system to protect your head?
You could probably work that a little bit on the outside. That's so hard.
Yeah, John, you hit it right on the button. The outside has to be a softer fabric. Yeah, and there was one time somebody, I don't know who it was, Ohio State or Michigan, somebody wore a helmet that was plastic on the sides, and the whole top of it down the middle of the top was kind of like a foam rubber covering over the top of the plastic. So I remember that. I don't know the answer. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, you're right. We put people on Mars and we go to the bottom of the ocean. Wait, somebody ought to be able to figure out. Let me make a thing that can protect the head that is not as hard as I don't know, a knife point, I guess.
I think that we can do it for sure, and I bet you somebody's working on it, Stevie.
Yep. Finally, replacement officials, Mike Ditka, give me your evaluation 2 weeks in.
Well, you know, you got a great sport. You should have the best people. I really look at this thing, and I watched it all yesterday, and they're trying to get it right. That's what's taking them so long. They're trying to get it right. Are they getting it right? No. After 2 weeks? No. They're not. Now, the one thing and they're calling a lot more offensive pass or defensive passes, and they should, because the defender has his hands on those receivers way too much. I said after 1 week, I said, what I see is they're not calling that. Now they're starting to call it. But I don't know what the answer is. I don't know where they're going with this, but I know they better get the regular officials back.
Well, and they'll get better and better too, Stevie. And I hadn't heard one thing about the official standoff, whether they're making any progress or not.
I haven't heard anything regarding negotiations, but if I'm an official, I'm probably starting to get a little worried
that
they're going to forget about me, Mike.
I think you're right. And I think, I don't know all the demands, but I know the one demand the league has. Why would you even be offended by the one demand that they want a one full-time official on every staff? Why would that bother anybody? One full-time official on every staff. That's what they want. So I don't know how you, I mean, these guys all have other jobs, I understand that. And that's probably why there's not that big a concern right now. But the professionalism of the game is being hurt by this right now. I mean, and these guys are trying, and some of them do a good job, some of them do a better job than other ones. But listen, it's not the same. You need the best officials if you have the best sport.
Right. And you're going to see it. They're going to force that issue on the holds and the hands because they're going to push those guys to see if they will call it.
I think you push them all the way to the limit to see how they're calling.
Well, exactly. And they're doing it right now, guys. And you could call it on every play. Believe me, you could call it on every play. And if they start doing that, then everybody's really going to complain.
Well, listen, tonight's a good one. It's Denver at Atlanta. It's Peyton Manning in Atlanta.
That is a good one.
And Mike Ditka is going to be there, Johnny. We love watching Coach on ESPN.
Great, babe.
Hey,
right.
Thanks, guys. I'll call you on Friday. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right,
thanks, Mike. Talk to you later.